This is Family Radio.
And one of the other boys thought he'd be funny and put a dime in it. And Stan started going around inside this dryer. And he was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And this isn't very good for a trombone player's equilibrium. Well, anyway, he got a little dizzy, so finally they got him out. But that's the funniest thing that happened all year that I can remember. I had to get out letters and try to look back on all of our experiences. You forget everything when you come back.
He's dry behind the ears, that's for
yes,
sure.
That's for sure.
How about the scary one you mentioned?
Oh, yes, we had a very scary thing that happened to us, as you all know out there in radio land. There was quite a time in Kansas City not too long ago. I guess it was in April, the end of March and April. Well, we just happened to be right in the middle of it. We got into Kansas City just as it broke out, the very day. And the first night, our concert was canceled completely because there was a 9 o'clock curfew on the town. Well, our concert goes till about 9:30, so we just couldn't limit it that much, you know, and cut it down. And people just wouldn't be able to get out and get to their homes in time. Well, the next night, no curfew had been called, so we had our concert. And this was in a real large Assemblies of God church right in Kansas City, right in the heart of Riot area. This pastor must be brave to have it right there. But it was right in the heart of Riot area, and we started our concert, and as soon as the first half was over, Thurlow was speaking, and we came back to change our clothes. The assistant pastor says, "Everybody get your other clothes on, evacuate the building." There's been a 9:30 curfew or 9 o'clock curfew called on the town. And you've got to get out of here right away. Just leave everything set up. Forget about, you know, putting your clothes away or anything. Well, we were just petrified. This had never happened to any of us before. And our truck was sitting out in front. There had been a murder 10 blocks down the street. And before the night was over, there had been 5 other murders right around the area of the church. And naturally, the people who were riding, I'm sure, wouldn't make any bones about breaking into a beautiful truck, you know, that we are just so proud of. And we just all, before we left, had a big prayer meeting, a little Christian powwow, about the Lord keeping his hand on our truck and keeping a guardian angel on both ends, because it's so long one couldn't handle it. And the Lord just, when we got back the next day, everything was right in place. There was not one thing missing, because it's got, oh, let's see, what would the boys call it? I guess it's got mags and chrome all over it.
Wow.
So it would just be a perfect target for somebody to come and take things from it. And it's always parked someplace where it is safe. But this just, the Lord just protected, really did. And I'd like to share one of the experiences that was the most eventful, I think, of anything that happened to me. And this was one night, let me see, I've got to remember where she lived. Massachusetts, Reading, Massachusetts. We went so many places, I can't remember people or places or anything. But the girls always went in twos when we stayed in homes. When we'd sing at churches, usually we stayed in homes. And the girls always went in twos in homes. Well, this one night, I was separated and I was going alone. Well, I just hated this. I just don't like to be alone, especially going into a strange home when you don't know anybody and you don't know what they're going to be like. But I thought, well, the Lord's got a definite reason for my going. And if somebody wasn't reached in this concert tonight, this may be my duty to reach them in the home. Because this is what Spurlows are, really this is what we pray, that Lord, if the souls don't come forward in the concerts, let us be the ministry in the homes. Because there just might be somebody that wasn't even at the concert, you never know. Well, it turned out that it was a girl that kind of looked like a beatnik, and it turned out she was. She was the Miss Social Bug of the town. She planned all the teen hops and the dances and everything. And she was taking me home to her house. And she had a lot of her friends, a lot of her unsafe friends, as she was. And they were smoking and swearing. And you'd never know they had just come from a Christian concert. Well, I kind of managed to insert a few words here and there on the way home. But they were kind of, you know, wiped out by everything else that they were saying. And really all they were interested in was about the high school shows and how we got involved in it and everything. Oh, I said, "Lord, help me. I've just got to tell these kids about you. I've got to win this girl, because I know she's such an influence on these other kids that she could win them to the Lord just by just saying, 'Come on, let's go forward.'" And that night we were sitting around. Well, first of all, we sang. And she was a folk singer, and she played guitar, and I knew some of the songs that she knew. And so all of us sat around and kind of, you know, chewed the fat and sang. And her mother called us into the kitchen and said, well, I've got cake and tea and stuff here for you. Come on in and enjoy yourself. So we sat down and started to talk. And it ended up that finally her friends had to go home, and we talked about the Lord all the time, the whole time. And she said that she had gone forward once at a Billy Graham meeting. However, she hadn't really let this sink in because she really didn't want to do it. I mean, it was just something that her mother wanted her to do, and this is why she had gone forward. Well, that night, she was going to let me sleep in a room by myself. All the kids had gone home, said goodbye, and she was going to let me sleep in a room by myself, but there happened to be another bed in the room, and I said, listen, Karen, why don't you come on in, and we'll talk this thing over. Well, I started writing a letter, and I thought, I'm just going to let her get it out of her system. If she wants to talk, fine. Well, nothing more was said about it, and so then I got this letter, and I'd like you to read it. And I got this from her several weeks later, and so this is the letter I got from Karen.
It says, Dear Sharon, this note of thanks has been a long time coming, but I wanted to be completely sure before I told you that I've accepted Christ. I say thanks to you because you're responsible for my newfound happiness. When you first started talking so openly about Christ, I never expected to be so captivated by what you said. I found that I was completely taken aback by your whole outlook concerning God, almost to the point where I thought you were faking it, but, well, this was only because, as I told you, I never met a kid whose whole life is devoted to Christ as yours is. And after talking to you and listening to you pray, I felt all mixed up inside. After you left, I found myself frequently thinking of God and His personal calling to you. And finally, I knew I had to make my own decision to follow Christ, and I did. And, as you said, my door opened very willfully. I find now that I'm glad for each new day to live as a follower of Christ. Thanks again. Sincerely, Karen. We're out of time, Sharon, but God's never out of time.
That's right.
Praise the Lord for the Spurlows. Praise the Lord for your testimony, and we'll be praying for you. Sharon Beard, God bless you.
Thank you.
Till tomorrow, gang, at 5, Ray Malsolder reminding you, 1 Corinthians 1:4. This is Family Radio.